www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The fate of a bipartisan immigration bill hangs in the balance as yesterday the Senate rejected 4 different immigration bills. But where do we go from here? Congressman Tom Reed says it's all about compromise.
If this is going to be addressed, I think you're going to have kind of a middle ground type of bipartisan agreement. Now, I'm not very optimistic as to what I hear out of the Senate and anything coming out of the Senate, so therefore that doesn't bode well for the future of solving this.
The congressman from New York then continues by talking about the 2 main issues that need to be solved here.
Taking care of the kids that are part of that dreamer population, I think that we can solve that and allow them to have the American opportunity, American dream. But we also have to secure the border. And if you limit it to those 2 items alone, I think there is a solution that can be forged together here.
The Justice Department today announced indictments on 13 Russian nationals and a trio of Russian entities on charges related to the Kremlin's effort to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
In theaters now, from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
And with a look at things going on around the world, here is USA Radio Network's UN correspondent, Luke Vargas.
An economic assessment by Smith College professor Andrew Zimbalist finds South Korea spent roughly $13 billion to host the ongoing Winter Olympics, but will generate less than $3 billion in short-term revenue. South Korea's government optimistically says hosting the Games will draw in at least $18 billion in revenue in the coming years. But Zimbalist is skeptical, saying meager ticket sales show the challenge of turning Pyeongchang into a popular international resort town. Reuters reports up to 100 Russian mercenaries may have been killed in eastern Syria last week after the U.S. responded with force to an assault on allied Kurdish fighters. In a pattern seen in eastern Ukraine, Russian mercenaries are said to be taking on an increased role across Syria. By relying on contractors instead of uniformed personnel, Russia's government is not required to report on death tolls or injuries. And Germany's foreign minister is asking the U.S. to step up its participation in transatlantic security by doing more than funding its military. The complaint that certain German allies have rolled back spending on diplomacy and the U.N. comes days after President Trump's proposed budget spelled out steep cuts at the State Department, U.N., and USAID. But Ursula von der Leyen did propose a compromise, saying Germany would increase its military spending and push others in Europe to do so if the U.S. remained diplomatically engaged. We'll see if that message reaches Washington.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon, and this not nice day. On the other hand, we're not in South Korea with the sub-zero wind chill, and maybe a little rain isn't as bad as we might think. I love the we'll talk a little bit about the Olympics, and but first of all, what's happening in our weather. Well, there's been a light to heavy rain this afternoon, depending where you are, off and on. And they said there would be scattered showers 30%. I think it's been almost, it's been 100%, not constant. And tonight, it's going to really get cold. And so that be careful out there as the temperature starts going down because, as we know, this rain, especially when it's on roads and some of the back roads especially, it's going to freeze and then low around 24 degrees. So by tomorrow, although it is going to warm up early in the morning, we can expect, ice. So be careful out there, folks. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, high of about 39 degrees. Rain and snow should hold off until late afternoon, early evening, but then we have about a 90% chance of a rain-snow mixture and then heavy snow as the temperature drops, low of about 28 degrees. So again, on Sunday morning, be careful out there because there still could be some ice under the snow, especially if they haven't plowed, depending on where you are, and the back roads are always, much worse. Sunday actually should be pretty nice. It's mostly sunny, high of about 47 degrees. By Sunday night, it's going to drop down again to the high 20s. So by Monday, Washington's birthday. Happy birthday, George, and lucky for all of you folks that have the day off. At least the courts are closed and state offices are closed, and many schools, in fact, probably all the schools are closed. Some of the kids have vacation Monday and Tuesday of next week. But by Washington's birthday, partly sunny in the morning, then rain likely because it's going to be about 49 degrees, could be that high. So that should be our weather for the next few days. So what's happening in sports? Well, this is the Sports Guys. I'm Pat Smits and waiting for John Manfreda because I know we're going to, Bill is not going to be here today. So we're just about over Super Bowl, except all of those folks from Philadelphia and all of those Eagle fans. I'm sure that you're still celebrating, and you should be. I mean, for the Eagles to beat the Patriots, that's pretty amazing. And thank goodness, because unless you were a Patriots fan, as much as you might not like the Eagles, most of us were rooting for them on Super Bowl Sunday. And then, of course, February 8th. And what happened on February 8th? If there were indictments in Washington, most of us who are sports fans were looking forward to the Olympics. And ordinarily, I'm not that interested in the Olympics. Obviously, takes up too much time to watch everything. But I have to say that I really think that they're doing a great job this year at, showing different sports, some interest, background interest on some of the Olympians. And I've really been very impressed, at least with what I see at the facilities in South Korea. Frankly, I don't personally know anyone who spent time in Korea during the Korean War, but I know that they talked about how cold it was, and I think we can all appreciate that now that we're looking at and watching the Olympics. So when I took a short break before I came here earlier today, I don't know what happened in curling, but I know that the Swedes were leading the U.S. 8-2. You know, there are some sports now that, as a kid growing up, I'd never heard of. Certainly, some of the skiing events, curling, but these are some of the skiing events are just the most fascinating. I think that maybe my favorite is this half, and I think they call it the half pike. I'm going to be very embarrassed if that's not what it's called, but certainly pretty amazing. If you have watched it, I guess, like me, I really thought that Shaun White was not going to make it once on the second run when the Japanese, I think his name is Hirano or something like that, the Japanese guy came in and scored 95.25, that the first run, Shaun White had scored 94.25. I was really thinking that would probably wrap it up. And then in the second disaster, he had a disaster, but of course they don't count that. So going into that third run, he was in second place. Anybody who's followed sports at all knows that he won 12 years ago as an Olympian and also 8 years ago, and then he came in fourth in the last Olympics. So here he is in his fourth Olympics, excuse me. And, he came back to win, and just phenomenal. I think that the youngest in that sport was maybe 17, and I think Shaun White is about 31 years old. So I always like to watch Scotty James with his red boxing gloves, but I have to say that that half pike and the women's was also phenomenal. It was really interesting to me that the young woman who got gold, her parents came from Korea. So that has to be really amazing for her that here her parents came here from Korea, and she's going back and wins the gold. And I like the skiing. I'm not a big fan of the skating except for the speed skating. I mean, I really like the speed skating. And to have a young American first, as far as I know, the first black member woman on the team, that's also pretty amazing. And, of course, that's pretty historic. And, the one thing about the Winter Olympics is, from our country, at least from the United States, it's mostly, white guys and white gals. And so to find someone who's a minority is rather interesting. One of the most fun things that I thought was this group, three women, I think they're from Nigeria. I know they're from Africa, and they were competing in the luge. I mean, you can imagine they never even saw snow, and reminded me, was it the luge or the bobsled? I'm sorry, I'm not as up on this as I should have. I do know that the first slope style snowboarding was won by Red Gerard, and that was the first gold medal, I believe, for the United States at the Olympics. And he edged out two Canadians, and that was, I think that was last Sunday, and for the top spot in the men's slope style snowboarding. You know, when I was a kid, we would not have known what slope style snowboarding was. These kids are just, or I should say men, are just unbelievable. So he became the second consecutive American to win gold in that event. And when you look at what they're doing, both men and women, it's just amazing, especially he was only 17 years old, and if you watched it, he really drilled that third and final run on, freezing cold. But at least that was, at least there was sun. I mean, some of these events they've had to just delay and delay and delay. But he was, his score of 87.16 was just enough to edge out the fellow Max Parrott from Canada. And actually, Parrott had washed out on his first two runs, but then he really nailed his final trip through that tricky series of rails and jumps. And so he posted an 86. And the third, Morris, who took third, had 85.20 in his second run. So that was what Gerard had to beat. And so he was, the second consecutive American. And, of course, this event has only been an Olympic event for 4 years. And that's one of the interesting things. They are changing and bringing in new events. And so if you turned on television for somebody who's in their 50s and they would not recognize, it'd be interesting to find out how many events, new events, have even come in the last 10 years and certainly the last 20 years. And talking about years and things that I have to do, let me bring you some spots from our sponsors, and hopefully John Manfreda will be here shortly and have some views on sports. And, hockey obviously is going to be, one of the things that John should be able to talk about. And if not, you're going to really not hear much about the hockey team.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first, We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys. John still isn't here. I want to talk about something else that is dear to my heart, and that's the cold weather. Those of you who know me, I'm Pat Smits, and I'm a diehard Packer fan. And what does that mean? Well, if you're a diehard Packer fan and you go to games in the winter, it means cold. And there are various techniques that we use to stay warm. The coldest game that I ever attended was the, and those of you who listen know and probably have heard this too many times, but was the Giant Packer playoff game. And the temperature was 13 below zero. Not wind chill, real temperature. So when you take a look, and I've been very interested in watching the athletes in Korea and looking at how they're obviously staying warm. I honestly don't know how the people in the audience are staying warm because, remember, they're not moving around much. They're standing. But in any event, the Americans are wearing battery-powered parkas, and apparently the Canadians are using heated snow pants, and of course the Norwegians, and I always watch the Norwegians, and they're great skiers. I mean, I love to watch the Norwegian skiers, and apparently they've even brought their own hot chocolate. But the then there's the scene at the Mogul's skiing hill, apparently where yoga mats or whatever looks like yoga mats are used to create a barrier between your feet and the freezing turf. They may have picked that up from the Packer fans like me, especially in the old days when you could carry anything into the stadium. We would carry in double thick cardboard for our, to put our feet on and to sit on, and then when we were sitting, put a couple blankets underneath us. And that was something that the Giant fans should have learned back in, you know, when that playoff game. I know that I went out and bought a ski mask. And, of course, we had foot warmers and hand warmers. And the other thing that I've always said, and I don't know if anybody in Korea is doing it, but silk long johns really work. And, of course, the problems with the athletes is they, you know, they can't be bulked up. They need to, you know, they don't want to be burdened by a lot of heavy clothing where football fans, you know, we can all look like, 300-pound whatevers, and it doesn't make any difference. But it is true that the conditions in Korea are really severe, and the men's downhill racing event that had been scheduled had to be postponed. One of them that was scheduled for last Sunday had to be postponed until Thursday because of strong winds, and that's the other thing. Not only is it cold, but because of the strong winds, a number of the different events had to be postponed or delayed, and you can see some of the snow swirling around some of the events. And apparently also training sessions had to be canceled. And so, you know, this is even, apparently this is an unusually chilly winter, and it's certainly an unusually chilly winter Olympic Games. Apparently the wind chills expected to be under, you know, below zero, which, you know, but it could be much lower than that. But apparently, you know, these elite athletes who are long accustomed to cold weather are still trying anything and everything to stay warm. Some of this is very high tech. You know, there are also the old home remedies, such as the hot chocolate. And, you know, one of the images, which may be the sign of this, of these games, of course, are the taped faces. Some of the countries are, you know, strapping sticky athletic tape across their cheeks and noses to protect their skin. And, of course, there are other things that people are doing. And, you know, we don't know how much actually this does to warm the body or make a difference. However, scientific consensus is rather unscientific in most of these cases. But, you know, if somebody feels warmer, then they may feel less distracted by the cold. And certainly that's the case in, you see that in football. I always think it's funny that people say, oh, well, the Packers are used to cold. You know, but many of these guys come from southern states, so they're not any more used to the cold than anyone else. I've always thought that in football, the players who have the real advantage is Denver because of they play in a higher altitude and they play so many games there. But in any event, so, you know, I know desperate for warmth, they say the athletes are trying either high tech gear, and there is some more high-tech gear. Apparently, there's one of the teams, the biathlon, biathletes, I should say, were using both Vaseline and tape to protect their exposed skin. And, of course, the issue is serious with alpine skiers because you have to protect your face not to have frozen skin. And those of us who, you know, grew up in cold climates realize that, you know, if you get cold enough, you know, there's real problem. I mean, if an athlete gets cold enough to begin shivering, you know, that could spell real trouble, just as those of us who were kids, you know, when shivering is induced in a research setting, there have been studies that show that the study subject typically feels extremely tired after the experiment when they're any kind of an experiment with shivering. So that could be very, you know, really troubling and more than troubling with an athlete because if you're extremely tired and you can, that can go over even to the next day. And muscles, it causes muscles to work against each other and in some kind of a fashion that I can't describe. But, you know, people think, oh, warm drinks. But they will do little to warm the body, you know. But maybe there's some psychological advantages or benefits to it. So they don't make a lot of difference, apparently. In, you know, they won't make much difference in the body temperature. So what we all need to know is that keeping heads and torsos warm is the really the first defense against the cold, and it will really help. And but that's not always easy to do. I know that in about the late 80s, the University of Wisconsin did some studies, and I'm going to just play one commercial, and then I'll come back and finish that thought.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sorry about that. I had to talk to Chris for a minute, but in any event, I started to talk about a study at the University of Wisconsin, and this was in the late 80s, and the researchers studied a device called a Lung Plus. When used by subjects in their study, it was in various cold weather conditions, and so overall, the Lung Plus users reported more comfortable breathing in very cold temperatures. And so the researchers noticed that Lung Plus breathing at minus 15 degrees Celsius, which is a little bit below zero, or maybe a little bit above zero. But they received similar scores in terms of comfort as regular breathing in 20 degrees Celsius. So that was a significant difference. And apparently, according to that research, that really did help. At least the subjects did report that. And, you know, one of the things that we should all look at, of course, is the Norwegian athletes, because they're accustomed to very cold weather. And apparently they've, as I said, they've developed some strategies to stay warm in, and I'm not going to ever say the name where they are in Korea correctly, so I'm not even going to try. But apparently, they use heated socks while they wait to compete. Now, I absolutely believe in heated socks or foot warmers because I know that at football games, as long as you keep your feet warm and your head warm, so most of us, even though we may not want to put hats on, we end up doing it or at least wear earmuffs. But the heated socks, and most apparently they wear wool undergarments and use tape to protect exposed skin on the face. Now, as I said, I think, you know, let them use their wool undergarments. I would at least, if I was wearing anything wool, I would have some silk underwear underneath it. But in any event, They Norwegians also like their hot chocolate from Norway. So I guess Trump may want to have more immigrants from Norway, and but that will mean we have to have possibly have more hot chocolate from Norway. In any event, despite what is considered bitter cold, the wind chill and temperatures have not dropped low enough to create serious concerns about hypothermia or frostbite for the athletes. You know, the frostbite risk becomes significant if temperatures drop below minus 13 Fahrenheit. And, you know, as I said, that was the temperature at that game I sat out in Green Bay. And when we were kids, it was not at all unusual because we had to walk to school and they did not close the schools. And I remember at least only one year when they closed the schools because so many kids got frostbite. And but back at in Korea, most of the athletes will generate enough heat to keep their internal body temperatures at a comfortable level while they're competing. And so the problem is, of course, between events, they need to keep moving to maintain that body temperature. And so they say that one of the mistakes that athletes and spectators can make is to focus on warming the hands and feet, which obviously feel cold first, rather than warming the rest of the body. But the main thing is to keep the rest of the body, keep the entire body feeling warm. And as my husband says, the best way if you want to keep warm hands is to wear a hat. And that is actually that is what the physicians in Korea are also saying, that you really need to keep that hat on. And for those of us women especially who don't like to wear a hat, and you know, really cold football games, you'll see the women wearing hats, and certainly if not hats, earmuffs and scarves. But the one of the things that I question is how the biathletes, they must have a really tough time because they have to stop mid-race to fire guns. And, you know, so that would be, you know, how do they keep their hands warm? So actually, the you know, this is a concern, but it's very interesting to see you know, the kinds of jackets and other things that the athletes are wearing. And I also, of course, it would seem to me that you use, I know, for example, that you use a lot of energy, a lot more energy than you know, would be normally the case when you're exercising in such cold weather. So apparently there, some of the teams are, you know, wanting to do something that will be the same as a sports drink available during the warm weather activities. And, you know, so that the problem is, though, how in the world to use maybe some powdered drinks that are not going to freeze or clump or make them, you know, not very tasty. So apparently that is something that, you know, tasty hot recovery drinks, you know, will be something that maybe the next person on Shark Tank can really invent, something that is tasty, hot, stays hot, and, you know, is tasty enough that people would like to drink it. So, but everybody does have to have warm fluids. So what else is happening over there, since I don't hear John coming in yet? Sorry, I'm not the best person to talk about the Olympics. I can only talk about, you know, kind of what I enjoy. So if you're really interested in figure skating, I'm not going to be very good on that. I know that the biathlon, the women. You know, again, Norway has come in with a lot of medals. The silver biathlon went to Mette, I can't even say the name, but from Norway. And, you know, the United States is, although they finished, you know, they finished 51, 61, 66, and 86. So we don't hold much hope for women biathlon athletes, at least for right now. Maybe that will change. The gold went to Germany, silver Norway, and the bronze to Czechoslovakia. Now the cross-country skiing, not much, what should I say? The countries that are predominant in these sports are what we would expect. Cross-country skiing, the gold went to the woman from Sweden, silver to Norway, and bronze to Finland. These are, you know, these kids grow up cross-country skiing just as little kids in soccer-playing country start, you know, soccer very early, and many of the kids in this country start football very early. But again, Jessica Diggins from the United States came in fifth, which is, you know, very respectable, and you know, in some ways surprising that you know, we have anyone in cross country skiing that is up as doing that well. Again, ski jumping, the men's individual, you know, we had the gold went to Germany, silver Norway, bronze Norway. Nobody in the top 10, as I recall, in the ski jumping from the United States. Now, the snowboarding, on the other hand, that is really, that's an American sport. Has not been, you know, not in the Olympics that long. I don't remember exactly how long. I know the slope style. Actually, I do know. The slope style has been in the Olympics only, I think, this is the fourth Olympics. And so this is the slope style was the gold, and that went to Redmond Girard in the United States, 17-year-old. And his position, he started at 8th after the trials. And the silver, as I said earlier, both the silver and the bronze went to Canadians. And after that, basically, you know, Norway, New Zealand, Norway, Canada again at 7. 8th was Norway, 9th Sweden. And so the United States has really predominated, but not totally. And the speed skating, which is always someone that speed skating women, the 3,000, the gold went to, well, actually the gold, silver, and bronze all went to athletes from the Netherlands. And the fourth place was from the Czech Republic, and then we had a skater from Japan, and the only U.S. finisher came in 22nd. So that is actually surprising. I remember growing up, and there were, at least I'm not saying they were Olympians, but there were a lot of speed skaters. U.S., both men and women. So I'm not sure the latest hockey, but I know that the preliminary round, there were two groups, and I really haven't followed the hockey, so I can't help you out there. And the figure skating, of course, and we had the ice dance, a short program, longer program, and the back and forth. That's another event that I really don't watch to any great extent. The historic start, of course, of the games is the first gold medal last Saturday went to Charlotte Kalla of Sweden, and then the Norwegian cross-country skier, Marie Bjørn, and that she took the silver. And, you know, this medalist from, as I recall, this medalist, the silver, she has won three gold medals at the 2010 Vancouver Games, three more in Sochi, and she's 37 years old and is still the dominant figure. And but there has been, in fact, a change of the guard in that. She acknowledges that she's been very good for many years, but she's getting older and the younger girls are getting better. Now, the younger girls are, in fact, some of them are very young. But this was her 11th career medal, and that was breaking a three-way tie with other athletes. And so she, you know, crossed the finish line at this point, knowing that she made history in what would, at least she said, and probably will be her last Olympics. And, of course, the gold medal winner, Kalla of Sweden, won that race by more than 7 seconds after breaking away from the pack in the last 2 kilometers and averaging, you know, she actually was avenging her second place finish to, and I can't, Marit, I can't ever pronounce her last name, but she, that was avenging her second place loss at the last Olympics and the 2014 Sochi Olympics. And again, someone from Finland was third, and Jessica Diggins, you know, our entrant from the United States, missed a chance to become the first American woman to end, well, she was hoped for to end our fact that we've never earned a medal in cross-country skiing. And she was, in fact, the third in the World Cup standings entering the race. So that up until now, including men's cross-country events, only one other person has won more medals than Marit Bjørn from Norway. So that, and for Kalla, it was her sixth Olympic medal and our third gold. We also had some, we know that the in some ways, I don't know how she can be disappointed, but apparently Mikaela Shiffrin is in fact has for her had a disappointing Olympics. She was she did win a gold medal, but I know that she also came in fourth, and she had set her sights on winning at least three gold medals in alpine skiing in Korea, but it didn't happen. And I know that you know, she won the World Cup. And she's 22 years old. She won that World Cup overall title, and that was a grueling 41-race competition. And that officially crowned her as the best woman skier on the planet. So apparently, you know, she, believe it or not, even with a gold medal, she's probably very disappointed. You know, her, apparently there are people who doubted her, and they consider her a specialist who won the title by piling up victories in her best event, the slalom, and the safest of five of the alpine events. And apparently, you know, we all know that fearless risk-taking is what gives ski racing its sizzle, and fans of the sport have always saved their greatest reverence for daredevils who charge down a mountain at 80 miles an hour in, you know, aptly named races like the downhill. And that's how Lindsey Vonn, who was widely viewed as the greatest woman racer ever, and the skier against whom Shiffrin has been compared all her life, made her fame. I'm still a Leslie Vonn fan. And the rarest of skiers, however, have tried to conquer every event, and winning the slower, more technical slalom and mastering the speediest, most treacherous races also. But that's difficult to do. We know that, guess who just came in to save the bell? And I hope he has something to say because I am out of anything. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, Pat Schmitz, my favorite matrimonial attorney.
Yeah.
I always have something to say. You know that.
Let's say it because I'm really down. Have you been watching the Olympics? I've been trying to talk about the Olympics.
I haven't been watching it in detail, sort of following it generally. But, you know, as you know, Pat, my philosophy, and I think you share it, is that sports, it mirrors life. And it's important for us to take from it what it gives us. And it's a reflection of life. Now, here you have, in Korea, a group of people who have been adverse to each other, suddenly shaking hands and playing the games for international peace and cooperation. And you start to think about that. And you think, you know, I realize that life is not a game, but what can we take from that? What? How can we improve the world based on that? If you think for a moment about all the wonderful things that come from sports, it's not just a competition, which is good for us generally. People get together. You and I have been to many sporting events together, and we're already friends, but how much do we enjoy that? Bill, who isn't here today, he and I have been to hundreds of hockey games together. We're always rooting on the opposite side. He's always going to be a Flyers fan, ill-advised as he is, and I'm always going to be a Devils fan. But we wouldn't think of not enjoying those games together. And isn't it a shame that we can't live life on a macrocosmic level that way?
Yeah, but you know what? You think that way, and I may think that way, but there are a lot of folks out there that are just trying to say, how many gold medals does the United States have?
Mm-hmm.
How many does Canada have? How many does Norway have?
This is
and,
true.
You know, so...
And for commercial reasons, perhaps?
Well, you know...
I mean, to some extent, they're selling jerseys and
But I think it's really been, especially the competition over the years between Russia and the United States.
There was ideological issues.
Yeah.
Ideology was on the table. Our system is better than yours, America. We can produce more gold. And, you know, we got the figure skating. We know for years the figure skating was rigged.
Well, and the problem that I would see is the doping.
Well, of course.
And
some of it we'll never know.
I've been watching not all of it, but I have to tell you, I love the skiing. I mean,
it's amazing.
This mogul,
yes.
And the snowboarding,
yes. Yes.
And what is it?
And just the downhill is so amazing.
But
when you look at the speed with which they pass through the air in an aerodynamic fashion. In fact, I do have a question for you, Pat, and I know you're not an expert on this, no more than I am. But we were watching it the other night, and we noticed that when they do the downhill now, the skis are separated apart. If you remember as a child watching the Olympics, this used to fascinate me. When they would do the downhill and lean forward, the skis would come right up and almost touch their nose.
Oh, well, that they...
Now, they, I mean, has somebody figured out in a Bernoullian fashion that it's more aerodynamically advantageous to separate the skis?
Well...
And I refer, of course, to Bernoulli,
yeah.
who explained why the wing, what creates lift on
but
the wing.
But just look at the skis. Remember, and I laugh about this, I know my husband's old, but he started out on wooden skis.
Absolutely,
you know,
everybody
now,
did, yeah.
Now they're all, you know, now they're all of these. If you look at them, sometimes they look like they're going to bend in half.
Yeah.
Not just, yeah. you know, they're not, they're you know, the skis, I don't know much
about skis. Well, your speaking is absolutely true. I mean, that goes to the composition of the equipment. And equipment is constantly being changed, upgraded, you know, in hockey to make things lighter and stronger, so that hence the goalies can react quicker and so forth. But I'm talking about just this one thing I happened to notice, and I mentioned it to my friend Ed. We had finished playing tennis, and we were sitting and we were watching it. And I said, Ed, those skis used to come up right under the skier's face.
Well, that's because they were flat.
Well, they're and still
they,
the
and
same
they
way,
bent.
But now they separate the skis.
Right. But the other thing...
We couldn't figure out why.
I think it has something to do with the skis. But the other thing that I was amazed, I was watching downhill the other day, and somebody lost his pole. And they said it was almost impossible for someone to ski if he doesn't have both poles.
I didn't know that.
And I was just, it was fascinating. I didn't know if he should have dropped the other one, but it did affect, negatively affected his score. And,
wow.
You know.
Yeah, I always thought they had loops on their wrists, so even if they lost the grip, that the pole would not fly away.
Well, in this case...
Maybe that's illegal, because I would think they would all do it. Maybe first, they have to learn to be able to ski and grip it, and they can't have like a wristlet.
I don't know. You and I know very little about it. I was happy to see that there was a Korean who won a gold medal. That was really kind of nice.
That was a South Korean, right?
Right. But remember, they're there to get that. The Koreans are together for this Olympics.
Can you imagine what that must be like? I mean, it's wonderful in a way. But, you know, the East and West Germans did this. Yeah, there are many examples of this. And... You know, because you've heard me dozens of times mention, you know, my disdain for this North Korean leader who is literally jeopardizing world peace. I don't know. My concern is that there is some alternative reason why he agreed to it. I'm struggling. I'd like to think there's an ounce of goodness in this man, and he's agreed to let it happen so the rest of the world can watch the Olympics and see all Koreans compete together as they should to try to promote their own national image and their athletic excellence. But I, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm just so fearful that, you know, there's this nefarious hidden purpose. Like, is the idea that all of the North Korean athletes are supposed to each work on some of the other athletes to defect, and at the end of the games try to pull them back to the North, or is something bad going on?
Well, you know what my impression was, is that, because I have watched enough of this, and they were showing some of the training in North Korea, and it made it look like it was a much more prosperous country than it is.
Of course.
And
yes.
Then they have all of the North Korean cheerleaders there. And I think that there is some concern in South Korea that this is making North Korea look much better. And so there is some political concern there. But the thing that I was impressed with, frankly, I've been very impressed with how NBC has done this and the background of the athletes. But what's amazing to me was the facilities in Korea. I mean, they are unbelievable.
Yeah.